And joining me in the KRVS studios this afternoon are Chun Kyat Lim and Sean Roy, professors in the UL School of Music, here to talk about a long-awaited CD release for their new CD called An American Kaleidoscope. And it has been a long time in the making, beautifully crafted production. You recorded it a couple years ago, and it's here finally. Yes. And you all are going to have a CD release party this coming Saturday, and a lot of people are really excited about it.
I've been looking
forward to it. Well, Chun Kyat, you're the pianist on the record, and Sean, you sing.
Yes.
So it's a duo of vocal music. Very interesting music. You all have been performing and studying this music for a long time. It's American song cycles. Mm-hmm. Tell us a bit about how the two of you realized you were interested in this music. Sean?
I think we started performing together actually around 2005. Mm-hmm. I think when we look back, we figured that's when it was. We're not quite sure. It's been a while. So we just started doing the normal stuff. Our first recital together had Mozart and Brahms and Strauss. And after that, we kind of started chatting about where we wanted to go. We liked working together. We're good friends besides that. And so we had a natural simpatico with each other and just started, what do we want to do to set us apart, make us different? What do we both like? And we both came up that we liked contemporary music. I mean, a lot of singers, from being a singer personally, don't care for it because it's not singable, but you have to be very specific who you pick. And I've always had an affinity for it. When I was singing in New York, I did like three world premiere record, operas of new people and a New York premiere. Mm-hmm. And Chun Kyat can tell you about his experiences with the piano. And so we went, okay, so let's do this. And I've always had a real happiness with song cycles. Mm. And if you're unfamiliar with song cycle out there in the listening community, it's a group or set of songs that are related somehow. Sometimes they're related musically by key structure, by like the old Schumann, the Dichterliebe, or they have some key relationships. But mostly in contemporary music, they're more related by the poetry. And often they will tell a story. And even if they don't tell a story, you can find a through line through the text. Mm-hmm. Like one of our cycles, the cycle by Thomas Passatieri, is all poems of Oscar Wilde. But they're not a set that he put together, but Passatieri put these together, but yet they have a theme. And so that's basically what a song cycle is. And I was always attracted to those because I'm a theatrical person by nature. And so I liked the acting storytelling aspect of it. So.
Well, and I guess a lot of people are more familiar with some of the German Lieder, and you mentioned Schumann and Schubert.
The great song cycles.
Right, right. But it is something that, particularly if you've listened to KRVS over the years, Lisa Richardson, who I mentioned earlier, and Cecil Doyle, they do like those more contemporary pieces, and certainly Dawn Upshaw made those very famous and really made people feel more comfortable with that idea of the contemporary
song cycle. More of the Samuel Barber ones, but we have Ned Roram, who is a contemporary of Samuel Barber, and is still around. He's 86 or 87 now, and we actually, spoke with him on the phone and got a nice letter from him and got his approval, to record this cycle, which he wrote in 1952, which had never been recorded in its entirety. Two of the selections had been recorded, but the whole thing had never been. So I think he was very excited that towards the end of his life that somebody finally recorded. It's a beautiful, profound piece for somebody who was 26 years old when he wrote it.
Well, I think people can probably understand why, as a vocalist, you would have been drawn to some of these song cycles. Mm-hmm. Chun Kyat, as a pianist, when did you first encounter song cycles? And
well, not necessarily song cycles, but I have always been sort of very fond of American music. I remember when I first came to the States, this is way back in 1995, I think. I had a very good teacher who was a very good classical pianist, but also a very good jazz pianist. And so he really promoted American music. And in every one of my recitals that I played in school, I would always program American music. So I sort of had that interest sort of grew during that time. And I continued to to explore this literature. And so, in fact, towards when I finally did my doctorate degree, I did my research in 20th century American music. And so I've always had this fascination for 20th century American music and felt that it was important for us to promote it. Mm-hmm. You know, that was a sense that was instilled in me by my teacher, that if we don't do that as educators, then really people will stop sort of appreciating 20th century music or start to think that they're all alike. Mm-hmm. And yet the 20th century is a period where there are so many different styles that emerged versus, you know, the Baroque, the classical, the Romantic. In the 20th century alone, you have neo-romantic and you have Impressionism, you have Expressionism, you have Minimalism. I mean, just a variety of different styles. Mm-hmm. And so I felt like it was interesting to kind of bring that up. And also, I think Sean and I felt like a lot of people have this notion that 20th century music are very not accessible. They're dissonant, that they're not beautiful. But the set of music that we recorded, I mean, I think they're very beautiful and very accessible. And so we also would like to kind of bring that out to the audience to say that, well, look, you know, there's a lot of beautiful music in our native country that we should begin to appreciate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, describe, and again, without just an example, an extra oral example, describe what it is about 20th century American music, because I think there are a lot of people, as you said, who think of it as just one thing. And when mm-hmm. you say contemporary, they have a certain image, a certain
ugly,
sound.
Ugly, dissonant, yes. Clashing.
Right.
You know, whereas the Posateria, like I mentioned, which we will be singing, mm-hmm. performing, sorry. I always say singing because I sing. Mm-hmm. Chunkyat will not be singing. Right. And which will be performing on Saturday at this release, is truly, I mean, it's because it's Oscar Wilde poetry. Mm-hmm. He wrote the you know, in that romantic, I mean, the height of romanticism, mm-hmm. you know, I mm-hmm. mean, so it's a post-romantic sounding piece. It's,
right.
I mean, there's very little dissonance about it, and it's mm-hmm. lovely to sing, and it's just touching.
And the dramatic possibilities,
and, oh, it's
too.
Beautiful. I mean, mm-hmm. that's what I like about singing in English. I mean, that's what attracts me to doing these American song cycles rather than doing Schumann, mm-hmm. but which we will be doing, you know, in the near future. But still, it's because it's my native language. And I, you know, the nuance of the text to me right. is so important. And in German, even though I study it, it's still not my native tongue. Mm-hmm. So there's nothing like an American singing their own music.
Right.
Know? And so we, like Chunkyat said, we need to teach our students and teach the world that this music exists. And it's not just popular music out there. There is this wealth of literature that mm-hmm. is not being heard.
Mm-hmm. Right. I want to tell people who may just be tuning in, my guest Chunkyat Lim and Sean Roy are here to talk about their new CD, An American Kaleidoscope. They will have a CD release party this Saturday at Barnes & Noble starting at 3 o'clock, and they'll be performing mm-hmm. Twice at 3 and at 4, so you'll get to hear their performances. You know, we're talking about 20th century American music, some of our listeners may automatically think of people like Gershwin. You know, yeah. they know Gershwin, and maybe a couple other people who sort of, I guess,
Sousa.
And mm-hmm. the barriers aren't quite so clear between mm-hmm. popular music
right,
and
right.
the classical part. But you're talking about people who are even, I guess, a little, how would you describe them? You know, they really don't go into the realm of popular music, the composers mm-hmm. that you're mentioning.
No, I mean, they're classical
right.
composers.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Well, let's go through your CD then and talk okay. about how you came up with these people. You've mentioned a couple of them, mm-hmm. but let's sort of start off right from the beginning and let us...
Well, we have
Talk
four composers,
them.
Four mm-hmm. prominent composers. We have John Duke, Thomas Pasatieri, William Bolcom, and Ned Roram.
Mm-hmm.
And we are very pleased because both William Bolcom and Ned Roram will premiere recordings. And so they have never been recorded before. Ned Roram had recorded maybe two pieces out of this set of 10 pieces himself, but that's about it. And then John Duke, he, as a pianist, recorded the CD with a bass baritone years ago, but it was never released on CD. So this is the first recording on CD. So we are excited to be one of the first to do many of these recordings.
Mm-hmm.
The only one that's been recorded on CD is Thomas Pasatieri.
Right.
And actually, when this whole project first started, when we wanted to do this recording, that was not recorded yet. It was only since then that it
right.
has been
we
released.
We found out after yeah. we decided to do this that, oh, right. he just released his... the Pasiteri songbook, and there they were. But but you know, we contacted him, and he was more than happy. You know, of course, once something's been recorded, you don't need permission anymore because it's out there. But he was very happy that somebody else wanted to record it.
So you're doing a real service for a lot of people. I mean,
we hope
when composers want their works heard, I mean, yes. So they're happy that somebody's going to record them,
and also for people to study these pieces, mm-hmm. because you know, one of the things that we do as musicians is that we go listen to recording, mm-hmm. and so. So since these are world premiere recordings, they do not exist. So it's difficult for us in the sense that we don't have any reference. So our interpretation is the first that's on record, which is good. But at the same time, it's also challenging for us. Mm-hmm. But
because you know, everyone will be measuring or...
Well, sure, this is like the recording because yes. Bolcom, you know, we went to his house and sang for him. I mean, so he okayed this recording.
So that's actually one of the privileges mm-hmm. of being able to do this is that if you're working with composers who are still alive, you have the, you know, you have the honor of actually meeting them and talking to them and coaching with them. So whatever you have is really firsthand. You know, versus Chopin, you know, I cannot say that Chopin said that. I have to do this staccato here or this diminuendo here because, you know, he didn't tell me that.
Mm-hmm, that's not how he was hearing
no,
it.
No, but, you know, 50 years from now, I can tell my students, if I'm still alive, I can say, well, you know, I know it has to be this way because Willem Bolcom mentioned it to me. And in fact, this came out in one of our editing process. There was one section of the music where in the editing, they created a sort of like a little bit of a pause between sections. And I was pretty adamant about taking the pause out, but it was a very difficult edit. And so the engineer had said to me, you know, we probably should just keep that. And I was able to say that I really don't want that edit there because Willem Bolcom specifically told me that he wanted his music to be very straightforward.
Yeah, because he was putting a pause when he played it. Yeah. And then when we went there, he said, no, just keep going. I don't want that. I don't want that, you know.
It's supposed to be abrupt.
Moves ahead, you know.
Right.
Because
it's a very abrupt kind of
otherwise.
Piece. Right.
Right.
How would we know that,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, and so you had the firepower of being able to say the composer
sure,
has
right.
said.
And
then,
so make it work.
Right. And it gives us insight into the pieces that we play, too. Because we're able to discuss with them and kind of get a sense of their personality, too.
Right.
Because they're so different.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about some of their personalities. And maybe some people in our audience have heard of these names, but maybe not. So tell us about William Bolcom. Who is he and why
William
is he
Bolcom
so important?
William Bolcom is... I keep calling him the hot composer right now because, I mean, he's won a Pulitzer Prize. He's won 4 Grammy Awards. I mean, he is one of the guys. He was Musical America's Composer of the Year 2 years ago. I mean, he is big. He's a huge name out there. He and his wife, Joan Morris, he's been composing since he's a child, I think, and they've been performing together for years, and they're quite a duo. And, then he just writes. He's written a variety of kinds of music. I mean, everything. But he writes a lot of songs, and he wrote a number of operas, A View from the Bridge, which the Met debuted last year. And they're just delightful people. He was on faculty at Ann Arbor, Michigan. And so we called him and said, we really want to sing this for you. It was written in 2002. It was commissioned by this... bass baritone who had won this big competition, and the prize was a commissioned song cycle. Well, he did it, performed it, and then it disappeared. And then we found it 10 years later, and so it took 10 years to get recorded. So he was happy to, he was, says, I'll have to come all the way over here. You can just send me a CD. I'll be happy.
Oh,
said,
no,
we want to be there. So we went
really
to their
do.
House, and they were just lovely. I mean, he is eccentric, and she is just like, you know, a Betty Crocker. I mean, kind of in a way, but with this wonderful
musician.
Actress, mm-hmm. you know. And
yeah.
So but they were just delightful. Just people you'd want to have dinner with every night, you know.
But it's fascinating that you tell us that he is the hot composer, that he's mm-hmm. won all of these awards, and yet you all are the first to really want to record this song cycle.
Right.
You would think people would be just beating his door down.
I think he writes a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think he has a huge amount of repertoire out there, and it's hard for people to, it's difficult. And maybe that's
everything.
Part of it, is that it's hard. It's difficult music. It's hard to play. It's hard to sing. And I think it's hard to learn. So mm-hmm. that's, people are kind of shy away from that if it takes too much time, you know.
This set was specifically written for this particular singer or pianist. And I think they usually cater for what they like. or what they're able to do. So in some ways, I think it's difficult for some other person to sing it unless you have the right range or the right, you know, style for it. So perhaps that's why it has been delayed. But so we're very excited that we get the opportunity to do this and to be the first to record. But they were just really quite charming. I mean, they were just wonderful, very insightful. And he's just a storyteller. So it was just interesting to hear him talks about all the different stories. And what he did was there are seven songs in the set, and it's set to a different poet. And some of these poets, he know them personally. So he had a personal ties to some of them. Mm-hmm. And so that also makes it interesting because he was able to relate some personal stories to us.
So these are contemporary poets as well.
Well, some of them. Well, we have Langston Hughes, who is not with us anymore. Mm-hmm. But then we have, you know, Cavafy, who is, what, a 15th, 17th century, something like that, you know. Mm-hmm. But then you have A.D. Winans, who, Al Winans, as I call him now, because we're friends on Facebook. And, well, I've contacted some of these people and said, can we, because we had to get permission to
from
print.
The poets
to,
as well.
To print their poetry. So he's charming, and but he said, "Oh, I remember in the '60s hearing him talk in the bars, and he was very radical. You know, I mean, he would just sit there and tell these stories, and it was like you were there when he wrote this. You know, so
and
that was
Doty.
Really cool.
And Mark Doty,
who's
still
very
in New York,
well known.
I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
So what is the integrating thread here with these poets?
There is none.
This is the special one. It's actually interesting that you asked that, because usually, like what Sean says, that usually is this common thread that runs through the songs. But this particular one, I think, is a unique one in whereby he actually chose poetry that fitted or that was requested by the singer who premiered it. Mm-hmm. And so whatever topic that this person was interested in, that's what he pulled from. Mm-hmm. And so he had topics that related to, because the singer who premiered it was an African-American.
Right.
And so he wanted to have something to do with his culture. And so he had a piece that's called Africa. And so he also based...
And the Langston Hughes poem. Battle of the Landlord.
Mm-hmm. So where you hear sort of like the turbulent '60s and the jagged relationship between the working class and, you know, their landlords. So that was interesting.
So it's a very personal collection of poems.
Of vignettes,
Again, chosen by the singer, the person who commissioned the
piece. Calls them vignette. He calls them a fan of songs based on vignettes from different, and it's called Old Addresses. Mm-hmm. Which is the last song in the cycle, is To My Old Addresses, and it talks about the places Kenneth Koch, who was a friend of his in New York, that had lived over his life. Mm-hmm. But there's something about, if you really look at the pieces carefully, which obviously we have, you do see something about people's pasts, like the past of the 60s being related. So somehow they do relate, but you have to really search for it. You can't just, it's not like the Roaring cycle, which is all poems of Robert Herrick, you know, from the 15th century. So,
but at the same time, we also like it because we think that it also sort of like spells out the essence of Americana, which is eclectic, you know. So I think it really represents that idiom very well.
And his other cycles are like that. Mm-hmm. All of his music is eclectic. I mean, they're very similar. They don't usually have a theme.
Right. I want to tell people we're talking about composer William Bolcom, who is one of the composers that is included in this new disc by my guests, Sean Roy and Chung Kiat Lim, An American Kaleidoscope. And these are song cycles by American composers and a variety of lyrics from poems. So you have William Bolcom on this CD. And again, you're having a release party this Saturday so people can hear you perform and talk about this CD. So you have William Bolcom and then Ned Roram, who you mentioned as well, who is still alive as well.
Ned probably is, if I had to pick one besides Samuel Barber, but, you know, Mr. Barber wrote so many other things. Yeah. Ned Roram really wrote mostly vocal music.
I mean,
that was his thing. But Menotti was, you know, born in Italy, so we don't really consider him an American composer, even though he lived most of his life here. You know, Roram inhabited the 60s through now with as being one of the leading vocal, you know, writers. He has volumes of scores of his art songs.
And so this cycle
and
that
treasures,
you,
yeah.
This cycle that you chose, why did you choose this one?
I had sung it, if you don't mind me telling the story. Mm-hmm. I had sung this cycle when I was a senior here at this university for my senior recital. And I really loved it.
See, it's we called, were radical
it's
even
called
then,
Flight
you
know? For Heaven. Mm-hmm. And I remember, because I remember the story. I had ordered it, and the music was delayed, and I got it 2 weeks before the recital. And I had to learn this thing. There's 10 songs in 2 weeks. I remember that. It was a little
it's
harrowing.
Printed on your
but
emotions.
It stuck with me, the beauty of it. Mm-hmm. And when we started looking for stuff, I said, you know, there's this cycle that I sang years ago that I'd love to look into again. And then it was Roram. And then we started looking for a recording, and all we found was Donald Graham singing these two songs. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, this piece has never been recorded. I can't believe that. So, and it's true.
And it's really a beautiful set.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
It's just so profound and beautiful in terms of the text and also the music that is set. You know, is you can tell that it is not 19th century, but at the same time, it's very, very lyric and very, very expanded the harmony. So it's just very colorful and personal.
And so where do the lyrics come from? Where does the story?
Robert Herrick.
Robert Herrick.
Mm-hmm. Robert Herrick was a 15th century cleric. Mm-hmm. And he created all the Julia poems, if you're familiar with the Julia, Julia and her beauty, and she wafts across. I mean, they're very poetic, and there's speculation that Julia actually ever existed, or it was just his fantasy woman. Because he was a man of the cloth. He wasn't supposed to have these thoughts about women. And, yeah, right. And
well, and they're also quite charming, too, because he has several that are about, he likes the imperfect part, you
yes.
know, the hair straying, the ribbon right. flying, right. you know, that it's not about perfection, that it's right. about those little. And so they're, I think they really stay with people.
And this, I mean, it's a collection of his mm-hmm. poetry, but it goes together beautifully. Now, Roram himself says you could take individual songs out and they would stand alone, and they would, but to me they work so beautifully. Mm-hmm. You feel the storyline, him meeting her, loving her, losing her, you know, mm-hmm. and then at the end his personal flight to heaven, his personal, you know, death or however you want to interpret it.
Well, is there anything in the music that indicates the century he's from? Or is it just the...
Well, I think in some ways it does, because the harmonies are so expanded. Mm-hmm. And so you know it is not from the 19th century or even previous to that. But you know this 20th century, but yet it is very, very accessible and very mm-hmm. colorful. Mm-hmm. But what is interesting about this piece, as I was just thinking here, is that a lot of these composers, John Duke himself, William Bolcom, and also Ned Roram, they're all pianists, fine mm-hmm. pianists. Yeah. And so they wrote... the piano part to be really not as an accompaniment, and which is one of the definitions of the art songs, where both parts are equal. But what is interesting is that Ned Roram actually had one of the song, the ninth song, is actually a solo piano mm-hmm. Piece, so there's no voice in there. So one of his songs, quote unquote, is actually a piano solo, which is very interesting.
It's called
piano interlude. Yeah.
So you are fully as much a voice in this.
Oh, absolutely.
This duo.
And that's kind of how he saw the instrument. Mm-hmm.
It brings back themes from the whole cycle and kind of culminates into the final song. I mean, it's just mm-hmm. It's a lovely moment.
And again, a world premiere of the entire cycle
He sent us a lovely letter back saying he was so happy that he could, you know, finally have it realized. And so,
well, they must be delighted because they can't mm-hmm. orchestrate the recording of all of their pieces. They have to hope that people like yourselves.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Right. Again, we're talking about the CD, An American Kaleidoscope, which has just been released, mm-hmm. Put together by my guests, Chung Kyat Lim and Sean Roy. They have recorded it a couple years ago, and it's been in production since then. And I know you all are very pleased with the production mm-hmm. as well. And we'll get to see the result of that. You're going to be performing this Saturday, some of the selections from the CD at mm-hmm. Barnes & Noble. There will be two performances.
Yeah, we're going to maybe 20 minutes, 25 minutes, and then we'll be there too.
Okay.
If you want to purchase one, we'll there to autograph it for you.
Talk to people about these cycles. Yeah.
And then we'll do it again for newcomers and people.
Now, you mentioned that you had to get permission to print the poems. Right. So you have the poems
yes.
and the songs all written.
We have a rather large little booklet inside with... about you know, our take mm-hmm. on a lot of these mm-hmm. and then about ourselves a little bit. And
right. Well, that goes along with what Chung Kyat was saying about it's so important to you all that you educate people about mm-hmm. this part of American mm-hmm. music, and that you really make sure that we know about the history and that we know in depth about these pieces.
Well, as a singer, I think it's really important. You know, at first we said, do we even need to pray the poetry? It's in English. Mm-hmm. But and maybe that's just my personal take on it, mm-hmm. but I even, when you go to an opera in English, I still like that there's subtitles in English. Because you can't, you don't get every moment. Mm-hmm. And so if somebody takes this booklet and reads the poetry before they even listen to it or as they're listening to it, I think the appreciation is so much higher.
Yes. Absolutely.
And that way you have it there. You don't have to wonder, now, what was that word, you know? Because mm-hmm. some of it goes quickly. It's kind of hard to hear.
Right. So. Right. No, that's a beautiful touch to have mm-hmm. printed all of those poems yeah. for us. And you mentioned John Duke and Pasatieri. Mm-hmm. Who is John Duke? That may be the one people recognize yeah. the least.
Because he's the only deceased.
Okay.
Right, he's actually a late 19th century, early 20th century composer.
Yeah, he was like 1899, he was born.
Yeah, he wrote mostly actually vocal music, right? I think he had a lot of vocal music he published.
A lot, yeah.
In fact, he's known as one of the vocal composers during that period. What is interesting about this piece, when you listen to it, even though it is composed in the 20th century, it really is steeped in the Romantic tradition. So it's heard as though it is a 19th century composition. But what he does interestingly here is that it is a style study or a personality study, I think, mm-hmm. in which every song is about an individual and they are very, very different from each other. And so he captures that. For example, the first one is called The Mad Knight. And you can hear sort of the hysterical sounds that happens or the reminiscence that goes on in his head. Mm-hmm. So it's very interesting. Every single one of them is very descriptive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's called Three Gothic Ballads is the name of the cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And I like performing them because of the intense character study, because mm-hmm. one of them is an old king, one of them is nuts, and that's always fun and to play, and then one's a coward, the coward's lament, and so they're very in-depth, and mm-hmm. I think the just rich harmonies of music. I mean, I've sung a lot of his other music. He wrote about 261 songs, and I find these the most interesting of his music mm-hmm. because they're not just a kind of an average American art song. They really have a depth to mm-hmm, them that is mm-hmm. different than the rest.
Kind of coming out of that great American writer Edgar Allan Poe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it has that quality.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Kind of angst and dark.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then Pasatieri. You mentioned Pasatieri, and actually those have been recorded
recently.
Just recently. Yeah. Very mm-hmm. recently. And those are the Oscar Wilde.
And now there's two recordings.
That's right. There's two recordings.
Pasatieri, too, is very interesting. Well, he's still alive, and we were able to contact him and send him a mock recording before we actually released the CD so that we could get comments. But he's been extremely helpful. But his history is interesting. He is the first to receive a doctorate from Juilliard. And he, a child prodigy, had composed even from a young age. And he has done a lot of arrangements that we are familiar with. For example, the orchestration to The Little Mermaid.
Yeah, he's a film scorer.
Shawshank Redemption,
also, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Fried Green Tomatoes. He had done all the arrangements for this. So we have known his music in one sense or another. But, his classical works probably has received lesser attention, okay, mm-hmm. because it is less popular, so to speak. But these songs by Pasatieri, the three poems of Oscar Wilde, are perhaps our impetus to do this CD. Mm-hmm. We had found these pieces first and fell in love with them. They are just absolutely the most gorgeous set. And it's through this that we started this project and said, well, perhaps there are other music that we would love just as much as this. And that sort of initiated this whole exploration mm-hmm. to find new music that's never been recorded, and finally culminating with this CD project.
Well,
yeah, we were hoping to have the whole CD to be brand new, never mm-hmm. recorded, but... Mm-hmm. Then when we discovered the Pasatieri, we found it. Oh, we said, oh, darn, I guess we can't record it. And we went, well, why not? This is what started the whole
That's
thing.
Right.
We have to
That's
put
right.
it on this
That's what we fell in love with.
So, mm-hmm. And he's, again, a new friend on Facebook, and he's been delightful. He's mm-hmm. just, he lives in Florida now, and he's accessible. We're trying to get him to come over here to do some stuff here at the university. So that's, we're trying to work that out for the mm-hmm. near future.
Yeah. And for him to know that people are out there, more yeah. than just one person who right. wants to record
but
these
his new opera is debuting mm-hmm. and this and that. So he's a big vocal writer. Also, he was real popular in the 70s. I remember when I was in grad school in the 80s, he was one of the hot opera composers, at the time. He wrote a version of The Seagull and all of this, so.
Well, you've certainly made them available to all of us and known to so many of us who would not know them otherwise. My guests, Chung Kyat Lim and Sean Roy, are professors in the School of Music. They have released their latest CD, An American Kaleidoscope, featuring American composers of song cycles. They will be at Barnes & Noble on Saturday for a CD release party and performance. Mm-hmm. And you're going to have, I think people have to go just to see it, the department has now a mini baby grand piano.
So we're going to move over there.
It still has a sound.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. Yeah, it has a good sound.
It's just a little small version of a grand piano. It's adorable. Come just to see that.
And the piano technicians, you know, they are just thrilled that we're moving a smaller piano because they don't have to break their
back. Right, the big old piano.
Yes, I'm sure they are. It could become the instrument of the future around here. And I believe, Sean, you're going to be singing something that's not on the disc, but it's...
We're going to sing a couple of tunes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Something by Kurt Weill and something...
Christmassy.
Maybe a holiday flavor. So it'll give you a little Christmas cheer at the same time.
Well, we'll look forward to that and as well selections from...
Speaking of Christmas, if I can plug
Absolutely.
Two things.
In addition to y'all's...
Before we go, this weekend's very full for the School of Music. Besides our performance Saturday night, right after it at 7:30, is the first annual School of Music Christmas concert. It's the first time we have a new choral director, William Plummer, and he kind of brought the idea to the table of combining some of the groups. So I think it's the percussion, the orchestra, the wind ensemble, and the choral department are all performing in a Christmas spectacular, as they're calling it. So that's Saturday night. And then Sunday afternoon is the Friends of Music, our organization that raises money for us for scholarships for School of Music students, is having their big annual fundraiser called Music and Merriment. And you can buy tickets throughout town and look for posters in the School of Music. Mm-hmm. And online now, they have friendsofmusicacadiana.org is there. I hope I can say that on
yes,
the air.
Yes.org. Okay.
on the air.
But I believe you can also buy it tickets at the bus. Can't you?
You can. Yes. You can arrive there. It's at 4 o'clock at Red's in the parking lot. And you can...
pay at the
buy
bus.
Buy a ticket right
the
there.
Okay.
It's $65
And the bus will take you to the
And it takes you to the three homes. Mm-hmm. It's a tour of three homes. And there's different music. One has a jazz Christmas. One has a trumpet quintet. And one is the singers. And we're doing some Christmas carol sing-alongs.
And John will be there too.
I will be there tickling the ivories.
Well, a real reflection of the talent in the School of Music that you'll get to hear Sunday.
Other things going on this weekend.
Yes, so much. You can give yourself over to the School of Music this weekend and enjoy everything you have to offer. So 3 o'clock this Saturday, Barnes & Noble, the CD release party. Sean and Chung Kyat will be performing at 3 and then again at 4 o'clock.
Correct.
And of course, they'll be there to talk about their CD as well.
Yes.
And you can acquire one as well. Well, thank you both for coming by. And I know you're going to drop a CD off tomorrow. So we'll get to play some of the selections tomorrow
afternoon. Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you, Judy.
Thank you all. Yeah. Thank you for all your work.
Thank you.